Hey, what's up, everybody? How we doing? It's been a while since we've done one of these. I think it was the Open Championship in 2022, which I have stopped doing golf because it's kind of time-consuming and everybody went to the LIV. And I was going to do it for the Masters and everything, all the majors this year. But I'm not going to be able to track any stats or any finishes for guys in the LIV. So there's really no point. I'll see if I can, if there's something, some way to do it. But if not, I'm not just going to update those spreadsheets for just the PGA golfers. And then, you know, a third of the field is blank. Because that would be kind of pointless. You just have like course history and stuff. So no more golf, unfortunately, until something gets figured out. But I will do every other sport that I have been doing, and I have been expanding. And today we're going to talk some March Madness. DraftKings finally put out, I think everybody was kind of slow. I don't know if everybody was kind of slow to it or if I was just looking a little earlier than usual, but for lines for teams to make Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16 and stuff, it's Monday at, you know, just after 10 p.m. and they finally put them up there some point tonight. But let's start with the overview of the bracket in the South region, where we have the overall number one seed Alabama, who is an absolute juggernaut, and I'm pretty sure everybody is just going to be plugging them into their brackets as a Final Four team, and it's probably going to be the, to no surprise to anybody, the most team pick to win it all. But it's just, it's really hard not to with Alabama. And they got a pretty good draw from where they're sitting. I have them as a hypothetical, probably like a 40-point favorite against A&M, Corpus Christi, or whoever pulls up right there between Corpus Christi and Southeast Missouri State. And then I have them as a 9-point favorite to West Virginia. If West Virginia wins, if not, Maryland, probably pretty close to that. Against San Diego State, Alabama, almost an 8-point favorite, I have them. And then against Arizona, a 4.5-point favorite. And then a 2-point favorite against Purdue in the Final Four. And then another probably about 2-point favorite against UCLA in the championship. But this is obviously all just kind of hypotheticals. But Alabama just looks like they're going to roll through this. So I think I'm going to go heavy on them. But I'm sure a lot of people are. So you're going to have to deviate this year, which I think this is a very good year to deviate pretty heavy with your picks. I won't go into Corpus Christi too much or whoever. The way I have everything kind of set up is it's kind of penciled in Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, because I have them winning their matchup. They're the superior offensive team. They should win. 4-point favorite Tuesday night when they play Southeast Missouri State. Their defense is terrible, but Southeast Missouri State isn't good at really much of anything. And at least A&M Corpus Christi has a decent offense. So I think they're going to win, and then they'll play Alabama and then lose by probably 40. Big knocks on Alabama is they turn the ball over too much. They commit too many fouls. They don't really steal the ball a whole lot. But everywhere else, they're legit, and they have probably the best player in college basketball right now, at least from the way his career is going to turn out when he goes pro, in Brandon Miller. So huge on Alabama, but if you're looking for betting value, there's not a whole lot there because they are minus money. Minus 105 to go to the Elite Eight, plus 190 to go to the Final Four. I will probably end up doing that, if anything, here. The next matchup, we have a little interesting one with Maryland and West Virginia. I have Maryland trending with a little more momentum at this time. West Virginia, the Big 12, was kind of a juggernaut this year, and West Virginia caught the worst end of that. They want to play fast pace. They want to get to the rim. They rebound pretty well, especially on the offensive glass. And they're kind of the exact opposite of Maryland. Maryland wants to slow things down. They're very careful on defense, whereas West Virginia is a little more aggressive on defense. West Virginia is going to cause steals. They're going to get in foul trouble. Maryland is the exact opposite. Maryland doesn't really steal the ball. They don't foul too much. But Maryland doesn't turn the ball over on offense. So that's kind of the big question here. Is Maryland going to be able to keep West Virginia off the offensive glass? And is West Virginia's defense going to be able to stifle Maryland? And who's going to be able to dictate the pace of this game? So I think that is a very hard game to predict. But when I'm looking at it, against teams in the top 20, West Virginia is 0-9. I have Maryland as having the better upside potential. And both of these teams play better at home. I'm not sure how well they're going to fare on the road or at a neutral venue. So I have either one of these teams getting smacked by Alabama next, but I have more faith in Maryland, so I think I'm going to roll with Maryland here. The next matchup we have, and that was an 8-9 seed. The next matchup we have, Maryland is the 8 seed, West Virginia the 9 seed. We have San Diego State as a 5 seed in this next matchup against College of Charleston. And I think it's just because San Diego State, not a huge name, and they're a 5 seed. This is going to be kind of a popular pick for a 5-12 upset with Charleston. And I think Charleston can probably get the job done. And I was leaning with this Furman and Charleston to get some upsets here against San Diego State and Virginia. But when I look at the spreads, the books have them at about 5-point spreads right now. My projections have it at 10-point spreads. So I might double take here, and I'll let the general public go with the upsets while I take Virginia and San Diego State. And I usually like taking upsets when I have a team like Alabama that I think is just going to run through everybody to the Elite Eight. So then you can get spicy with your picks. That would run into Alabama, because I don't think anybody is going to get past them to the Elite Eight. So you might as well try and deviate from everybody else there. But I might not do many upsets here, because I feel like it's going to be a popular play to have Charleston over San Diego State. San Diego State, good defensive team all around. Offensive team, they're okay. College of Charleston is pretty good offensively. And they're good defensively, but I don't know how much rim protection they're going to have. And I have College of Charleston as one of the luckier teams, and they obviously have a weak strength of schedule. But the home court advantage wasn't a huge thing for them this year, so I think they'll be able to play well on the road. So we'll just have to... let's see. College of Charleston played one tournament team, and they beat them by 2. But they also lost to North Carolina by 16. So who... it was Kent State. They beat Kent State by 2, and I kind of like Kent State. San Diego State, 6-5 against tournament teams, 12-5 away or on a neutral court. Charleston, 14-2 away or on a neutral court. But obviously the strength of schedule is not really great for Charleston. So I think I might just roll with San Diego State here. Next matchup, we got Virginia, a 4 seed, versus Furman, a 13 seed. Another popular play for an upset here. Virginia did so-so, and is kind of their momentum has puttered out nearing the end of the season here. I have, like I said, I have these as 10-point spreads, basically. And the books have them at 5. So I might veer away from the upsets. But Furman, pretty good offensive team. Obviously, Virginia, really slow. They take care of the ball. They don't turn it over. But then they just don't do anything really well on offense. And they just don't foul on defense. They play hard-nosed defense, so we kind of know what we're going to get from a Virginia team year in, year out. Furman doesn't really play great defense, but they do guard the perimeter pretty well. Home court advantage seems to be more of a factor for Virginia, so this could mean playing on the road might not, or obviously neutral site, might not be their best option here. But they were 10-6 away from their home court, whereas Furman 13-5. Furman 0-2 against tournament teams, and Virginia 4-3 against tournament teams. So like I said, I feel like these are going to be popular plays for the upset. But I think I'm just going to roll with Virginia to get that 5-10 point win. Just kind of grind them out. Never really pull away, but just maybe at the end of the game, just seal the deal where it's always they're up 5 the whole game and it looks like they're in control, and then they just knock down free throws at the end of the game to win. So next game, we got 6-seed Creighton versus 11-seed NC State. Creighton had a rough stretch in the kind of, well, they started off 6-0, and then they lost 6 straight games. But Arizona, Texas were the first two. Marquette was the last one in that stretch, Arizona State. So there's 4 teams that have made the tournament, or at least the play-in game in Arizona State. And pretty much all single-digit wins. They lost by 10 to Nebraska in that stretch and lost by 11 to Marquette in that stretch. But all pretty close games. But 8-10 away from their home court and 4-9 against tournament teams. 3-7 against teams in KenPom's top 20. So that's the thing that really scares me with this Creighton team. They're good and they're going to beat the crap out of bad teams. But when they face good teams, elite teams, they just seem to, you know, barely lose those ones. So I feel like this could be a spot where they get upset by NC State, the 11 seed. NC State 2-5 against tournament teams, not great. 8-8 away from their home court. I don't want to go against Creighton because my buddy is an assistant coach there. But Creighton, not real aggressive on defense, but they rebound well. They'll block a little bit. They won't foul, but they won't steal, so they're not taking many chances. Offensively, good three-point shooting team. Good shooting team overall. Really good assist numbers there. NC State, a little more rocky on offense, but they do take care of the ball well, and they do shoot threes decent. Just defensively, they're not really good anywhere, so that's the thing that kind of scares me. I think Creighton pulls off a close win here, but I wouldn't be surprised with an NC State win. But right now we have -5 is the line for Creighton, but I think I would hammer NC State +5, but not with too much confidence. Next game we have 3-seed Baylor versus the 14-seed Cal, Santa Barbara. Baylor 8-7 away from their home court, 8-10 against tournament teams, but the Big 12, Baylor played 18 of their games against tournament teams, which is a pretty insane number, whereas Santa Barbara played 0 tournament teams this year. They were 15-4 against their, or 15-4 away from their home court, which is good, but obviously they just didn't play anybody. I've heard a lot of early buzz with Santa Barbara, but I think Baylor kind of beats the crap out of them. We got a 11-point spread, and my projection has a 14-point win. So pretty close to what the line has. Baylor, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation. Defensively, not very good, and I think that's going to be their downfall. They have a real high ceiling, but kind of a low floor if they're not really stopping anybody, and they just have a bad three-point shooting night. Santa Barbara, not very good defensively. Pretty decent offensively, so this should be a shootout. I'm not sure what the over-under is here, but I'm guessing it's got to be close to 150. Looks like it's 144. So I think I would roll with the over in that one. Let's see what the spreadsheet is saying. Santa Barbara, ooh, recently they've been averaging 149, 144 for Baylor, 147 on the year for Baylor, 138 on the year for Santa Barbara. Oh, it has it at 144 exactly. I don't know, I kind of lean towards the over because I feel like both these teams could get hot from three, but everybody, maybe a second half over, take a live over. In case they get off to a slow start. Next matchup, we have Missouri versus Utah State. And I have Missouri coming into this with some momentum. They are a 7 seed. Utah State is the 10 seed. But Utah State has the... is there the 2-point favorite, and they have... shorter odds to make the Final Four, Elite Eight, Sweet 16. So even though they're the lower seed, it seems like they are the better team. So this is probably also going to be another popular play for the upset. And I have Utah State actually winning by 9.5 points, which seems a little bit wild. Missouri, 8-8 against tournament teams, 8-6 away from their home floor, 4-5 against tournament teams for Utah State, 12-6 away from their home floor. But obviously Missouri is going to play a little bit tougher competition. That's what you would think, but based off of KenPom, Utah State had the harder strength of schedule all year. And now that I'm looking at it, Missouri played one of the weakest starts I've ever seen to a season. Southern Indiana to start, then they had Pennsylvania, Lindenwood, Southern Illinois, what's that say, Edwardsville, Mississippi Valley State, Coastal Carolina, Houston Christian, Wichita State, Southeast Missouri State. And then they finally, after starting, 9-0, something like that, then they finally play Kansas and lose by 28. But then they kind of finished a little stronger. They beat Tennessee in the first round of the SEC tournament, and then they lost to Alabama by 11. which is semi-respectable for how good Alabama is. They beat Mississippi, Louisiana State, both by 5 at the end of the year, beat Georgia by 22, which none of those teams are that good. But they finished somewhat strong. Utah State beat New Mexico by 15, beat Boise State by 10, and then lost to San Diego State by 5 in their conference tournament. So this should be a close, interesting game. Missouri steals off the chart. Everything else, terrible on defense. They are awful rebounding team, but they shoot the three pretty well. They take care of the ball, good assist numbers, good scoring numbers for Missouri. Utah State does everything pretty well on offense, but turns the ball over a little too much. On defense, they're okay, but they rebound decent. This is a tough one. I would lean Utah State just because of how bad Missouri is on defense. But I really wouldn't be surprised either way with this game. I don't think, if we look back at the bracket, whoever wins this plays Arizona, and I have Arizona winning that matchup. But fairly close. This could be a sneaky spot where Missouri or Utah State beats Arizona in the next round. And then we could see Missouri or Utah State potentially beating, you know, Creighton or Baylor or NC State in that next round and making it to the Elite Eight to play Alabama. So that wouldn't be too crazy there, but I do like Arizona, so we'll move on to that game next. Arizona, 2 seed against Princeton, a 15 seed. I have a 23-point win by Arizona. The spread is at 14 right now. Arizona, 28-6 on the year, Princeton, 20-8. Princeton played one tournament team, lost by 6, and that was against Iona. Oh, and I wish Iona wasn't playing UConn first round, because I would love to pencil them in for a win. But Arizona, 13-4 away from their home floor, 12-2 against tournament teams, with an average point differential of 10 against those tournament teams. Arizona is kind of a little bit of a juggernaut, but will play down to their competition if they're playing just a good team. But they're better than the elite teams or the great teams, which is a very weird thing, which is probably why I like Arizona versus Alabama. I like playing the chalk there in this side, but there is that, like I pointed out a minute ago, I think there is that small chance that Utah State, Missouri, Creighton, Baylor, somebody beats Arizona. But they've just been, legit, especially against tournament teams, which is a very good sign. Thing with Arizona is they turn the ball over too much. They don't shoot free throws very well, but they do shoot the three really well. Assist numbers are very good. Scoring numbers are very good. And a lot of that probably has to do with the pace that they play at. Defensively, not a great team. Steals and blocks are usually up there for Arizona, but they're really not this year, but they do rebound pretty well. Princeton, good rebounding team. Decent defense, but steals are not there. And obviously, going from the Ivy League to playing against Arizona is going to be way different. So the strength of schedule, if you take that into account the defense for Princeton probably goes down. The offense probably goes down. So, yeah, definitely rolling with Arizona here. And I don't want to talk myself out of it, but I'm going to keep Arizona going to the Elite Eight. And their number right now for the Elite Eight is plus 145. So I might roll with that too. Other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot of with Alabama at the top of this. And then you have Arizona. And then nobody really, I think, is going to make waves in between them. I don't see a whole lot of betting value here for futures anyways. But now we will go into the East. We have Purdue, the one seed. And then we have either Texas Southern or Fairleigh Dickinson. And I have Texas Southern winning that matchup by 7. So we'll just pretend that Texas Southern is in there versus Purdue. Purdue was one that I wanted to have, and I still might have, I'll probably think through this here, but I want to have Purdue potentially lose in the second round to Memphis or FAU. And I'll get to that matchup here in a second. But the more I look at Purdue, the more I think, God, this team is a Final Four team. 15-3 away from their home court, 12-4 against tournament teams, 3-0 against top 20 teams in KenPom. I'm not even going to talk about Texas Southern. They did play 5 tournament teams, but they were 1-4 with a point differential of minus 20. They were 7-14 away from their home court. They have an overall record of 14-20. So Purdue kind of faltered down the stretch at the end of the year after starting off, 22-1. They lost to Indiana, beat Iowa, lost to Northwestern, lost to Maryland, beat Ohio State, lost to Indiana. So 22-1 start, and then they lost 4 out of their next 6. But then they are on a 5-game win streak after winning the Big Ten championship. But a lot of those games down the stretch were a little bit closer than what they were used to at the beginning of the year. So they're definitely trending down a little bit, but they won the Big Ten. So how far down are they trending? I have Purdue winning by 1 million, obviously, against Texas Southern, or it said 40-plus points. But Purdue obviously does everything well on offense besides really shoot the 3. They run the offense through Edie. They're 8-foot-tall monster. They don't get in foul trouble, which if they can keep Edie out of foul trouble, then they probably will go to the Final Four. They rebound really well. Yeah, so Purdue, they're going to have a tough matchup in the next round. So we'll just skip ahead. We got the 8-seed Memphis versus the 9th-seed Florida Atlantic. And these are two teams that I absolutely love. I think there's a lot of buzz around both of them, and a lot of people love them. I hate that they pitted them against each other because these are two teams that I want to sneak into the Elite Eight. But it's very hard to do when they both play each other in the first round. And then you go up against Purdue in the next round. So that's kind of tough. I have Memphis winning this game by 2. It's a 3-point spread in favor of Memphis. You know, just two teams that obviously Florida Atlantic, the big question mark there is their level of competition obviously isn't great. They only played one tournament team and they beat them by 15 points. And that was Northern Kentucky. So, I mean, what does that really tell you at this point? Northern Kentucky is a 16 seed. But they took care of business and, let's see, 5 out of their last 7 games, they won by 22 or more points. And that includes 3 games in their conference tournament. 14-3 away from their home floor, 17-0 at home. Memphis, on the other hand, 13-6 away from their home floor, 4-3 against tournament teams, 1-3 against top 20 teams. But Florida Atlantic didn't play any top 20 teams. Both of these teams are 2-0 against teams ranked 21 through 50. So they might not be the elite level, but they are at least very good level. You know, Memphis down the stretch, they beat Houston, but that was without their star guard. Beat Houston by 10 to win their conference championship, or the conference tournament anyways. Oh, so this is a tough one. This is a very tough one. Memphis turns the ball over a little bit too much. And they foul a little too much on defense. But they're going to have better interior presence than Florida Atlantic. But Florida Atlantic still rebounds the ball pretty well. So that might not be too much of a struggle for them. They just don't shoot free throws very well compared to Memphis. So if Memphis is putting them at the line, that might not be a huge plus for Florida Atlantic. But this is, I don't know, this is a tough one. I love both these teams. And I really wanted to have both of them be in my Cinderellas, basically. But one of them's got to lose first round. So that kind of sucks. So I can't tell you where I'm going to go right now with those two. But I think I'm just going to have Purdue going past them because what do you do in that spot, you know? If you go real hard on Memphis to win, you know, and then beat Purdue in the next round with the upset, and then they lose to Florida Atlantic in the first round, then you're screwed anyways. And both of these teams are going to have a tough time beating Purdue. So that's a tough one. That is a tough one. Next, we have Duke versus Oral Roberts. Duke is trending down. They are a minus 6.5-point favorite as the 5 seed. Oral Roberts is trending up. I have both of these teams with high ceilings and high floors, which is tough to come by for a 12 seed. So that should tell you a lot about this Oral Roberts team. But I do have Duke as closer to a double-digit favorite, you know, 12, 13-point favorite. So I think this is another spot where everybody's talking about the, you know, the 12-5 upset, Oral Roberts. You know, they won, was it last year where they won 2 games in the tournament? So I think a lot of people are going to roll with Oral Roberts here. So I think I'm just going to go with Duke because my spreadsheet is saying that's where the value is. And I like this Oral Roberts team. But if the public is on them and my spreadsheet is telling me to go the other way with Duke, then I'll probably just go with Duke more often than not. Duke is pretty well-rounded team. They just don't shoot the three-pointer very well. Defense is very good, but they don't really steal the ball a whole lot. Oral Roberts, good defensive team outside of three-point shots. They give up too high of a clip from three there. And on offense, really good scoring team. But obviously, the strength of schedule is pretty weak. The only thing is, Oral Roberts, not very good on the glass. And they're going to be stepping up to play Duke. And Duke is very good on the glass. So I think that's kind of the deciding factor in this game too. I think Duke just out-rebounds them here, makes them look really small. I think Oral Roberts can kind of hang in there, but I think Duke covers the 6.5 points. So that's why I'm going to roll with Duke in round one. Next one is another questionable one. We got Tennessee is the 4 seed, Louisiana as a 13 seed. Tennessee, pretty heavy favorite, -10.5. And my spreadsheet, I think, has them winning by even more. My spreadsheet has them as a 22-point favorite. But they did lose late in the season their starting point guard, Ziegler, and their assist numbers are really good, but that is probably going to hurt them. But they're always going to be a good defending team, good rebounding team, especially because they're going to be the bigger team here. But this is interesting, and committee always puts together interesting matchups, and they're not always obvious, but I think this is kind of an interesting matchup. Louisiana is a very good rebounding team. Very good defending the three. The only thing is both these teams love playing on their home court. So I could see this being a low scoring kind of dog fight in Louisiana. Even though the 10.5 point spread, my spreadsheet has Tennessee winning by 20. I think it's going to be closer to that 10-point spread or inside of that. I think Louisiana could give them problems, and it's not going to be a high-scoring game, which would usually lean towards a thinner margin for the spread. But let's go ahead and look at their records here. Oh yeah, and just to go back to the last one real quick, Oral Roberts played 4 tournament teams. They were 1-3 against those tournament teams. So that was another thing. 0-3 against teams in the top 20. But they did have one pretty good win by 14 points against, who would it have been? Liberty? Yeah, that's all right. But that's why Oral Roberts just hasn't played enough good competition. But back to Tennessee, Louisiana. Tennessee, 9-8 away from home, 9-7 against tournament teams, but they're 4-1 against top 20 teams. So against, they can beat the elite teams, but against good teams, they just don't really put it into that extra gear for whatever reason. But then when they go against really bad teams, they put it back into that extra gear and just blow them out. Louisiana 14-0 at home, 12-7 away from their home court, 0-2 against tournament teams, and they lost by 20 on average against those two tournament teams. So I think this is kind of why my spreadsheet, small sample size for Louisiana playing against the really good teams, but that kind of factors into the projections of why my spreadsheet probably has Tennessee beating them by 20, but I just feel like a lower scoring game, kind of a weird matchup. Tennessee's out there starting point guard. They don't seem to have a whole lot of success in March Madness. So I probably won't touch anything here, and I just have a very weird feeling about, I'm not going to put, this would be a perfect spot, I feel like, to have a 4 or 5 seed, have confidence in them, and then maybe even beat Purdue, but I just don't love Tennessee to really do it because their floor seems to be a little bit low, and same thing with Duke. But we'll see. I'm probably just going to roll with Tennessee and Duke and then have Duke win. So far, I was talking all about the big upsets, and so far it seems like I'm playing the chalk on the 12-4s or the 12-5s and the 4-13 seeds. But maybe I will flip that on the other side, because I feel like this is the side where everybody wants to play those upsets and they're going to be popular. But let's go to the next matchup. We have the 6-seed Kentucky versus the 11-seed Providence. Kentucky, a 3.5-point favorite. This is a spot where I really like Providence. Both teams are 21-11. Providence, this is where it gets dicey. Providence, 6-9 away from their home court, 3-8 against tournament teams. Kentucky, 7-7 away from their home court, 7-7 against tournament teams. So that right there kind of tells you Kentucky is probably, it shows you why Kentucky's the 6th seed and Providence is the 11th seed. But there's this weird thing. Last year, Kentucky, 2-seed, lost to St. Peter's, but then St. Peter's did go on that run, so maybe they just got really hot. But this year, again, I'm looking at Kentucky's record, and they have a couple really bad losses on the year, which is not something you would want to see from a team that you're hoping to go far. They lost to Georgia by 7 late in the year, but that one is somewhat forgivable. But they lost to South Carolina earlier in the year. That is a little less forgivable. So if they can lose to South Carolina and Georgia, Providence can easily beat them here. But that's why the spread is so close for a 6-11 seed. I have Kentucky winning by 3.5 points, and the spread is 3.5 points. So I don't love anything right here, but I actually love Kansas State, which is right beneath them. So I'm probably going to flip-flop a lot between Kentucky and Providence in this first round, because Kentucky, I think, is just a little more sporadic. They have more upside for sure, but they also have a little more downside, or, you know, a little lower floor. Kentucky, great on the glass. Not a good shooting team, really, but just obviously Kentucky's just going to be full of, you know, athletes, probably on the younger side. Providence, well-rounded offensive team, pretty good on the offensive glass. They don't really fall on defense, but they will let you shoot and score from deep. But Kentucky can't really shoot and score from deep. So, has me back leaning towards Providence. I think I'm on Providence. At least Providence plus 3.5, if not to win. So I think out of this 6-11 seed, that's an 11 seed that I'm going to roll with more often than this 6-seed Kentucky. Next, we go to Kansas State, the 3-seed versus Montana State, the 14-seed. Kansas State is an 8.5-point favorite. I have them with good momentum and Montana State with bad momentum. And I also have Kansas State winning by about 30. But obviously, that can be a pretty it's a sample size thing with my projections. This is the March Madness spreadsheet that I have is a little more sporadic in its judging of scores or projecting of scores, whereas my normal cheat sheet that I do daily is a little more conservative. But Montana State, 0-2 against tournament teams, 13-8 away from their home court, and they're not playing real tough competition. Kansas State, 7-8 away from their home court, but 8-6 against tournament teams, and playing in the Big 12, being 8-6 against tournament teams is pretty solid. I think this is kind of a no-brainer. The only thing that scares me is Kansas State doesn't really take care of the ball on offense. And they fall a little too much on defense, don't really protect the rim a whole lot. Montana State, the only thing you can really write for them is penciled them in as a good free throw shooting team. And they just found a way to get wins. So I think Kansas State, -8.5, I think Kansas State, that is a line that I'm going to hammer. Next game, we got Michigan State, 7 seed, USC, 10 seed. Michigan State is the 1.5-point favorite. And this is another one like Providence versus Kentucky. Michigan State being Providence in this, even though they're the better seed, they're just a little more consistent. But they don't have the high upside that USC has. USC being the 10 seed. I have both teams as trending in the right direction. I have basically a coin flip for this game, but Michigan State barely winning, and they are a 1.5-point favorite right now. Michigan State, 7-10 away from their home floor, 5-8 against tournament teams, 0-4 against teams in the top 20, 10-7 against teams 21 through 50. USC, we got 7-8 away from their home floor, 5-5 against tournament teams, 1-4 against teams in the top 20. So I think this is, you know, pretty evenly matched through and through, both teams. Michigan State, a little more consistent on offense, I would say. Decent three-point shooting team, or pretty good three-point shooting team. Good assist numbers. They take care of the ball. Decent free throw shooting team. USC, just the best thing about their offense is their free throw shooting. And that's not saying a whole lot, but they are very good at protecting the rim. And MSU does not have a very good defense. So it's their bad defense versus USC's kind of bad offense. And then we have USC's kind of good defense versus Michigan State's kind of good offense. Michigan State has more of a home court vibe to them than USC. So I think this game is a true coin flip. But what I'm going to get to in the next matchup with Marquette in Vermont, I really like Marquette. So I think Marquette rolls through Michigan State or USC. So I think just because I'm a Michigan fan, I think I'm just going to 100% roll with USC here. Next matchup, Marquette, 2 seed, Vermont, 15 seed. I like Vermont. Vermont's been solid the last, you know, almost the better part of a decade now. I feel like Vermont just obviously not playing a very tough schedule. 10-9 away from home too, with not a very tough schedule. Marquette 11-5 away from home. 8-5 against tournament teams, 7-3 against teams in the top 20. They haven't lost since they played UConn way back when. And since then, they have 9 straight wins, including 3 straight wins to win the conference tournament of the Big East. So I really like Marquette here, and that's why I have them steamrolling whoever they face in the next round. We have an 11-point spread here, and I have Marquette winning by friggin' 30. But obviously, this is it's because Vermont just doesn't play anybody tough, and when they did, they got blown out. But I think in the tournament, everybody kind of tends to play a little bit tight. Games are a little bit closer, so it's 11-point spread here. But maybe if they're playing in the regular season, you got something like a 15-17-point spread or something. But I really like Marquette, and then I have Marquette winning by 5.5 points against Michigan State in the next round. So I really like Marquette to make a run here to the Elite Eight, potentially even Final Four for Marquette. After the East, we roll up to the Midwest, where we have Houston as the one seed. And I have Houston trending in the wrong direction here. They're a 19.5-point favorite against Northern Kentucky. And I have them winning by like 40. So I think first round, no problem. But Marcus Sasser, who sat out the last game of the conference championship where they lost to Memphis, he is questionable coming into this game. It seems like he's going to play, but that's going to be one to monitor, because if he's in, I think you can pretty much pencil Houston into the Elite Eight. If not, you know, they might have trouble in the second round with Iowa or Auburn. And then, you know, whether they play Miami, Drake, Indiana, Kent State after that, they'd have trouble. So that will be one to monitor going forward. Obviously, Houston, very good overall team. But they do, defensively, they're great. Strength of schedule isn't obviously way up there, but defensively, they're really good. They just have foul trouble. They don't shoot particularly well, but they do everything else really well at an elite level. So they're Northern Kentucky, we don't really have to spend too much time on them because they are a decent three-point shooting team, and I think if they get really hot from three, they could cover this spread, but I 19.5 points, I don't see them covering that. So we will go to the next game, which is 8-seed Iowa versus 9-seed Auburn. Both these teams, we have Iowa 5-10 away from their home floor, 8-6 against tournament teams, though. Auburn 6-10 away from their home floor, 7-10 against tournament teams. So this is going to be an interesting little matchup here. 1-point favorite for Auburn, and I have Auburn winning by about almost 1 point. So Iowa, and they've been like this for a little while now, very good offensive team, not a very good defensive team. They play better at home, which I just went over. But their luck rating is pretty low, and I get the luck rating from partially my statistical breakdown, and then part of it is the luck rating on KenPom, because he probably does a really good job with that. So I wanted to incorporate that in there. But Iowa, not very lucky team. So, I mean, I like looking at teams that don't have a huge home court lean to their schedule, meaning like they don't play way better at home than they do away from home, because those are teams that just kind of falter when they play, you know, a big tournament game away from their home floor. And then same thing with luck. I like to look at teams that haven't been lucky all year. So they're going to be kind of ready for a test like March Madness. Auburn, not a very good offensive team, but a pretty good defensive team. They just foul quite a bit. So I don't love or trust either one of these teams. I kind of lean Iowa. But this one's really a coin flip for me. It's like the Michigan State and USC matchup. But I think I'll just roll with Big Ten here, because I am biased. So the next game, we got Miami versus Drake. And I loved Miami throughout the year. 16-1 at home, 9-6 on the road, 5-5 against tournament teams. Drake, 13-6 away from home, 2-0 against tournament teams. This is going to be my upset play, which could be another popular upset play. But we have Miami only a 2.5-point favorite as a 5 seed versus the 12 seed. And their big man, his name, I am probably going to butcher, Norchad Omir, forward, that he is questionable right now. And they lost him in the conference tournament. And that would be a huge hit for them. So I think that is probably why they're only -2.5. If he is declared healthy and 100% ready to go, then that line is probably going to move closer to like -4 or something. But I feel like this is a very good spot to take Drake here. So I think I'm going to roll with Drake quite a bit. And then the next matchup, we have Indiana as a 4 seed, Kent State as a 13 seed. Indiana, -4.5-point favorite. I have both Miami and Indiana winning these matchups by about 7 points, which is more than the spreads. But if you go back to the other side of the bracket where I had, you know, Duke and Oral Roberts, or Furman and Virginia, I had those teams winning by 10 while the spread was like 5. So that's why I'm leaning more towards these upsets, because even though I have them covering the spread slightly on this spreadsheet, it's definitely much closer. And I do really like Drake and Kent State here. So Indiana versus Kent State. Indiana, not a very good shooting team. Kent State, pretty good defense, but they foul quite a bit. And a little bit better shooting team. Both teams like playing at the home court a little bit better. You know, let's have a look at the old records here. 7-9 away from their home floor for Indiana. 8-10 against tournament teams. Against teams in the top 50, Indiana is 12-11. Kent State, 13-6 away from their home floor. Only 1-3 against tournament teams, but a positive point differential there. So they obviously played all the tournament teams pretty tough for the most part. Against teams in the top 20, Kent State was 0-2, but with a point differential of only -6. Whereas you'll see other 13 seed teams or teams similar to that playing only a couple games against top 20 teams with 0 wins, and their point differential looks like negative 20. Kent State's only -6 here. So that's why I really like Kent State here. I think Kent State and Drake are, this little section here is live for anybody to come out of it. So that's why I kind of like Kent State and Drake to pull off the upsets here. Iowa State next as the 6th seed versus Mississippi State or Pittsburgh. And I've gone back and forth about the Mississippi State and Pittsburgh. These 11 seeds, you have to kind of factor in the teams a little bit more, whereas the 16 seeds for the play-in games, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. But we have Iowa State as the 6th seed. Obviously, we don't have a line out for this game yet because the matchup doesn't exist with the play-in games. But we will just kind of take a closer look at Iowa State, I guess. And then maybe a brief look at Mississippi State and Pittsburgh. Or I can probably just flow off the cuff for those two teams. Iowa State, 6-10 away from their home floor, 8-9 against tournament teams. But Big 12, I will keep hammering this drum all day long. Big 12 was a juggernaut this year. So 8-9 against tournament teams is pretty impressive. But they were doing most of that damage on their home floor. So I don't really trust this Iowa State team to play in the turn. I probably will roll with the 11 seed of Mississippi State or Pitt to win this matchup, because I have very little faith in Iowa State. Mississippi State 9-8 away from their home floor, 6-9 against tournament teams. Started off really good, but both Iowa State and Mississippi State played nobody really at the beginning of the year. But they did both play a Big East team in Marquette and UConn. So both these teams won their first game in the conference tournament and then lost the second one. But Iowa State did beat Baylor at the end of the year twice back to back. But they lost. They were on a 4-game skid. But, I mean, you're playing Kansas State, Texas, Oklahoma, West Virginia. All pretty solid teams. Man, I don't know. I don't know. Let's just see how does Iowa State do it? Good offensive rebounding team and good at stealing the ball, and they play a very slow pace. A lot of defensive pressure. Mississippi State, a very good defensive team, not very good offensive team, but can rebound really well. So Mississippi State is a 2-point favorite against Pitt. But Pitt has really good guard play, really good against the spread this year. Pretty sporadic, though. Their floor is very low, but I think their ceiling's fairly high. And Mississippi State is just kind of a very good defensive team that is just... If Mississippi State wins, that over-under for them in Iowa State is probably going to be like 120. So I think that kind of just has upset written all over it. So I don't have a lot of faith there. And I really like Xavier. But they have an injury as well. They have a forward, Zach Fremantle, who is out and is a decent impact to their team. So that's the only thing really stopping me from taking this 3-seed Xavier team potentially into the Final Four. But I wouldn't really be surprised about that, because I think the Big East, the top of the Big East, was pretty solid too. So I think we could see some Big East teams make runs here, like Marquette, I talked about earlier. Xavier's another one, and then UConn. But UConn obviously has a tough draw, which we will get to that region next. But we have Xavier, the 3-seed, Kennesaw State, 14-seed, 11-point spread, and I have that's probably going to be a 25-point game. But obviously, I think these projections are a little bit wonky because obviously Kennesaw State just doesn't play anybody. 0-3 against tournament teams for Kennesaw State, 8-6 for Xavier. So I think this is a 3-seed that we're not really going to have to worry about. Xavier turns the ball over a little bit too much. They foul a little bit too much, but they rebound really well. So I think that's just going to make them a tough team to play. Kennesaw State does a little bit of everything, but they're not too impressive. Their luck rating is pretty high too. So I'm probably going to smash the line for, what was it, 11 points? Yeah, minus 11 Xavier. So that's one I have quite a bit of confidence in. Next, we have Texas A&M, 7 seed, versus Penn State, a 10 seed. This one is very interesting because I think both of these teams are trending in the right direction. Obviously, both lost in the conference championship games to Alabama for A&M, and then Penn State lost to Purdue. Gosh, I forgot to put in that final score. But I think it was that a two-point game, 67-65 maybe? Penn State just out of nowhere won 8 of their last 9 games and almost won the Big Ten championship. So that's pretty wild. Away from their home floors, 10-8 for A&M, 9-8 for Penn State. Against tournament teams, 8-6 for A&M, 10-4 for Penn State. So I think these are both pretty frisky teams here. Spread is -3 in favor of A&M, and I have A&M winning by 2 points. A&M, very good free throw shooting team, very good rebounding team. Slower pace, good defensive pressure, decent steal numbers. Penn State just takes care of the ball really well, shoots the three really well, doesn't rebound very well at all. They're a small team, and they foul a decent amount, not very good defensively, but they're good on the perimeter. This will be a very interesting matchup because it is A&M who wants to get it to the rim, rebounds really well, versus Penn State who wants to play from the outside. So it's basically going to come down to, there are going to be mismatches on both sides of the floor, and whichever team can kind of take advantage more is going to win here. So it's another one like the very beginning I was talking about, the Maryland versus West Virginia. Just two stylistically very different teams, and I think you have that here with A&M and Penn State too. So it's just, this is a hard one to predict, but I feel like both of these teams could go on a run here, so it's very hard to pick. And they're going to run into a tough Texas team in the next round, but if they can get through, they can get through each other first and then Texas next, I don't see why either one of these teams couldn't make a run at the Final Four. Next we have Texas, the 2 seed, versus Colgate, the 15 seed. I have a 35 point spread. -14 is what the actual spread is for Texas. I think I'm going to, if my other spreadsheet cheat sheet is showing value, I'm going to hammer a lot of these wider spreads. But just for particular games that both sheets are kind of showing value for. Because I feel like some of these spreads are a little bit closer than they should be. Texas obviously had a great year after the start that they had, where they, you know, you have coach drama where your coach has to leave the team at the beginning of the year. That could derail anybody's season. But somehow they ended up 26-8, 17-1 at home, 9-7 away from home, 12-7 against tournament teams, 7-3 against top 20 teams. So this is definitely one of the favorites to win the entire thing because they are that good, and they have been that good the whole season. So I don't think there's really much to worry about here with the 2-15 upset. Texas, good steal numbers, good assist numbers. Other than that, they don't blow you away, really. They just do everything pretty well. Colgate, good offensive team. Not a good free throw shooting team. Not a good rebounding team. But this is another one of those kind of wonky matchups. Texas doesn't really rebound that well. Colgate doesn't really rebound all that well. So maybe that could kind of play a factor in. If Colgate is just getting the bounces this game, they could cover the spread. But I could see that being the only issue where they cover that spread. But I don't see Texas really losing this matchup. Next, we have the West region. And this is going to be the absolute war-torn region. Because it's everybody in here got a bad draw. This is your top four teams here are absolutely stacked. We have Kansas as the one seed, Howard as the 16 seed. 22.5-point favorite for Kansas. I have Kansas winning by 50 against Howard. Kansas is, I guess they're kind of trending up too. I was afraid they were going to be trending down at the end of the year. But they're 12-6 away from their home floor. 15-7 against tournament teams. They did have kind of a rocky stretch middle, late in the season where they lost 4 out of 6 games. But that's against Kansas State, TCU, Baylor, and Iowa State. All tournament teams that they had lost to there. And then they lose to Texas in the Big 12 tournament after beating West Virginia and Iowa State by double digits. But they did lose to Texas by 20. So they do have some pretty nasty losses, double-digit losses. But for the most part, this is a very good team. Howard, I'm really not going to get into a whole lot. They turn the ball over a lot. So I think Kansas is probably going to cover the spread, get a lot of fast break points. Howard plays at a fast pace, but they really like playing at home. They've had luck. This is another one where it's a big number at 22.5 points, but I will probably take that. Or I'll probably, what I'll end up doing is taking some of these bigger spreads that I like and then just teasing some of the lines. Because I think there's, even if one of these teams has a bad day, they're still going to damn near cover the spread. Kansas, offensively, really not a juggernaut. Defensively, they're very good, very active hands. You're not going to shoot threes at a high clip against this team. So defensively, they're very good, but offensively, we could see them struggle in the later rounds here. But let's go to Arkansas next as the 8 seed versus Illinois, the 9 seed. And this might be another one of those funky matchups. Both of them bad against tournament teams, bad away from their home court. But Illinois, I think, has a little bit higher potential here. The spread, I can't find the, I think I'm just realizing this now, today for the first time, but people on my cheat sheet would tell me once or twice, maybe 3 times throughout the season, hey, the Illinois game's not on there. So then I would have to look it up and manually add it. But on DraftKings today, to win the West region without Illinois teams was on there. So I don't know if they let you bet on teams in Illinois. I live in Michigan, so I don't know if it's a national thing, but I have no line for the Illinois versus Arkansas game. I'm going to have to look into that. That's dumb as hell. If they're not letting you bet on Illinois teams, we should go to war with that state or just make them their own country if that's what you want to do. That's a bunch of crap. But I have Arkansas winning by 3 points. And I kind of wanted to lean Illinois here. Arkansas, very good defensive team. Very good defensive team blocking shots, stealing the ball on the perimeter. But they're aggressive and they foul quite a bit. High pace of play. They tend to play better at home. Offensively, they have some big name guys, but young, that are probably going to go to the NBA and it's going to screw them over. But the offense really isn't that great. Scoring numbers are pretty decent, but I think that has a lot to do with the high pace that they play. Illinois, good rebounding team. Defensively, pretty good team. Fouls a little bit too much. Other than that, offensively, they're nothing special. I think, gosh, that's a tough one. It's just two really good, or at least pretty good, defensive teams. Neither team shoots free throws really well. That's a tough one. That's another two similar teams. 8 and a 9 seed. I have Kansas beating Arkansas by 6. So I think it doesn't really matter for me who I play here because I think I'm going to just have Kansas beating them, either team in the next round. But that's another matchup where Kansas, Arkansas, and Illinois probably match up pretty well with Kansas too. So this whole region's just going to be a bloodbath. But I think I'm just going to have Kansas roll through. And then maybe a little, probably half and half of Arkansas and Illinois here. And then next you got frickin' St. Mary's, 5 seed, VCU, a 12 seed. St. Mary's is kind of trending down. VCU is trending up. St. Mary's 10-5 away from their home court. 4-3 against tournament teams. VCU 12-4 away from their home court. 3-2 against tournament teams. Both play kind of weaker competition. I think St. Mary's has probably been the more consistent throughout the year. But VCU's kind of the hotter team at the moment. The spread for this one is 3.5 points in favor of St. Mary's. And I have 7.5 point win for St. Mary's. But I think the way that they're trending is it's going to be a closer game. Both teams are good defensively, decent offensively. This is a tough one. And it's a 5-12 seed, so I think this is going to be one where I do a little bit of 50-50 with each of my brackets going forward, because I think the other side is going to be very popular for upsets. God, this one's just so tough. I'm going to go 50-50 here. I don't love either of these teams. I don't hate either of these teams, but they're just tough nose teams. But then let's go to the next one. This region is just insane. Next game we got 4 seed UConn versus 13 seed Iona. UConn started off looking like they were the best team in the country and then kind of fell off. But I think the Big East is just really tough. But they did win 6 of their last 7 games. UConn did 10-6 away from their home floor, 6-6 against tournament teams, 3-5 against teams in the top 20. But then the rest of the teams, 22-3 against teams outside of the top 20. So I think this is just, UConn might not have what it takes to make it to the championship game, make it to the Final Four, especially in this region. Holy crap. But this is a very good basketball team. And then you have Iona, 27-7 on the year, 2-0 against tournament teams. Even though the tournament teams that they played really weren't anything special, it was, I can't even find them. Princeton beat Princeton by 6, beat Vermont by 21. See, this is tough because going into this, UConn was one of those teams where if they got in the right spot, I would have no problem putting them into the Final Four. But you put them in this West region where even if they beat Iona, VCU, St. Mary's would be the next matchup. And then you have Kansas, Arkansas, Illinois next. So it's tough. I think I'm just going to have to roll with UConn here, but maybe once I'll have Iona win this matchup. But it's a tough one. Connecticut just turns the ball over a lot and fouls a lot. Doesn't really steal a lot, but everything else they do at a pretty much elite level. Iona really well-rounded on both sides of the ball. Should be a good matchup. Should be a good game. Spread is 9 points. I think if anything here, I'd take Iona plus 9. But that's a tough one. Next matchup, we have the 6 seed TCU Horned Frogs versus 11 seed winner of Nevada or Arizona State. I have Nevada winning it closely, but I think the Mountain West, it's kind of tough to gauge them, so I really wouldn't be surprised at all if Arizona State wins, and Arizona State is a 1.5-point favorite. But then I have TCU winning by 5. But TCU, even they're trending in the right direction, but they had a very low floor early on in this season. 8-8 away from their home floor, TCU. 8-9 against tournament teams. Pretty good at putting away bad teams and like 50-50 against good teams. Started off actually really well, but the beginning of their schedule was terrible. But they did beat Iowa. They beat Providence early. Beat Texas Tech, beat Baylor. But then after starting the season, what is that, like 13-1, they went on to lose, 6, 7, 8 out of their next 12 games. So they went on a really tough skid once they got into the heart of the Big Ten or the Big 12 schedule, which is kind of not super surprising. But they finished a little bit stronger, winning 3 out of their last 5 or 4 out of their last 6 against pretty tough teams. They beat Texas. They beat Kansas State in that last stretch. But then they did lose. They beat Kansas State by 13 in the first round of the tournament and then lost to Texas in the next round by 6. So TCU is just a tough team. So Nevada, Arizona State, I have TCU winning that anyway, so I don't really think it matters too much. out of Nevada and Arizona State. TCU, really good defensive team, decent offensive team. Yeah, I think TCU is just going to be the superior defensive team out of them or Nevada or Arizona State. So I think just TCU runs right through them and wins by, you know, 5 points, maybe a little bit more. Next, we have 3-seed Gonzaga versus 14-seed Grand Canyon, and we have a 15-point spread. Gonzaga 13-4 away from their home floor, 5-3 against tournament teams. Grand Canyon 10-7 against or away from their home floor, not too great. 1-1 against tournament teams, not too bad. I have Gonzaga winning by about 30 points, but I think this one is going to be closer. So this is going to be one of those wider spreads that I'm not going to touch because I think Grand Canyon actually has a chance to keep this one pretty close. Grand Canyon rebounds pretty well. Not very aggressive on defense, whereas Gonzaga is. Gonzaga, the superior offensive team. But I think Grand Canyon is just going to force them to make tough shots and hope that they miss. But this is probably going to be an over game. I don't know what the line is off the top of my head for the over-under, but I am assuming it is going to be very high. 156.5, it looks like. So that would make sense. But I think, Grand Canyon could keep this close down the stretch. So I don't love the spread here, but I'm obviously just going to roll with Gonzaga to win. Next matchup, we have Northwestern, a 7-seed, versus Boise State, a 10-seed. Northwestern, kind of a surprise team out of the Big Ten this year. 8-6 away from their home floor, 6-7 against tournament teams. Started off pretty solid. Finished rather poorly, losing 4 out of their last 5 games. Lost to Penn State by 2 in the conference tournament. They beat Rutgers last game of the regular season. Lost to Penn State before that. Lost to Maryland. Lost to Illinois. But those are all, besides Rutgers, all tournament teams. And Rutgers was close. Iowa, they beat before that. Indiana, they beat before that. Purdue, a 1-seed, they beat before that. Ohio State, Wisconsin. So 5 wins in a row against all good, very good teams. But then had a little skid at the end of the year there. So Northwestern is kind of, if you look in the near past, kind of on a down skid, but if you open the horizon a little bit more to include those 5 other games, they were actually playing pretty good basketball before that. But then they have Boise State, who 9-8 away from their home floor, 4-4 against tournament teams. So this is not a team that's going to roll over for you. I have the spread at pretty close, but Boise State actually winning by 3 points, believe it or not. Northwestern just really takes care of the ball on offense, but doesn't do anything really well. Pretty slow-paced team, but their defense is pretty good. Outside of three-point shooting and rebounding, and that is... Boise State is a little bit better at three-point shooting and rebounding on the offensive side. And defensive side, they're a good rebounding team as well. And they take care of the ball, don't really turn it over a whole lot. And they're a pretty good defensive team, Boise State. They just don't force really many turnovers. But Northwestern really takes care of the ball anyways. So this is probably going to be a game where Northwestern has very minimal turnovers. If they just make the most of their offensive possessions, they will win. But Boise State, if they get wet from three, then it might be game over there. So I think I could see this one really going either way. I'd have to look at the line. I'm not really sure. I don't have a line on here for this game. I have Boise State winning by three, but it wouldn't surprise me if Northwestern as the seventh seed is like a 2 or 3 point favorite. So this one I could see going either way. I kind of like Northwestern just because I think they have a higher potential. But again, in this side of the bracket, I think you can go upset city because whoever wins this game is probably going to play UCLA next. And if they win that game, they're going to play Gonzaga next. And if they win that game and they're trying to get to the Final Four, they're going to have to play Kansas or UConn. This is just completely unfair down here in this section. Next game and final game, we have UCLA as the 2 seed, an 18.5 point favorite against UNC Asheville, a 15 seed, who I actually kind of like UNC throughout the year because they won me a little bit of money. UCLA, we had Jalen Carter for, I said we, but I'm not a UCLA fan. Jalen Carter, not that I hate him, but I think his name's Jalen Carter. But one of their guards, very good defensive guard, is out for this game. So that's going to hurt him a little bit. And that's why I loved UCLA coming into this as a potential win-it-all team. But now I'm kind of skeptical, and especially in this region, I don't love it. I still don't know what I'm going to do with this region because I don't trust Gonzaga. I don't trust Kansas. I really like UConn, but I think they have a very tough draw in the first round with even Iona. And then St. Mary's or VCU next isn't a walk in the park. I think I'm going to lean UConn coming out of this side. UConn and UCLA, but I don't know. I don't know. Could be Kansas and Gonzaga. This is tough. What a just shit side of the bracket. Oh. But UCLA, I guess we can get back to them to close. Very good defensive team, but obviously lost one of their better defenders. They don't really shoot the ball very well, but they have Tiger, I think, is a senior at this point. Their point guard takes care of the ball. Good rebounding team. Not a good shooting team. That's the only thing that's going to really hold them back. And if their defense just doesn't hold up as well as it should, then they might have a real tough time with Gonzaga. UNC Asheville, pretty good defensive team. They don't foul a whole lot, but they don't get a whole lot of steals, so it's just not super aggressive on defense. And a good three-point shooting team. So even this, I really love UCLA, but even this 18.5 points, I think, is going to be up for grabs for UNC Asheville. So obviously taking UCLA here, but going to be pretty wide open in this whole portion. And that is it. I'm going to be posting the normal cheat sheet. The March Madness cheat is up with everything updated. It is almost midnight on Monday night. So I will post this right away. But everything as of Monday night is good to go. And then the normal cheat sheet will be rolling out as the games start, which we have Southeast Missouri State Tuesday night, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, High over under 153.5 and Texas A&M Corpus Christi is -4. I have Corpus Christi winning by 12. It's not a very predictable game based off of the volatility and the numbers here that I'm looking at. So I'm not crazy about Texas A&M Corpus Christi here, but I think I'm going to roll with them to cover the -4. And it should be a high scoring game, but you know, all these teams are playing tight this time of year because it means so much more. So it's got to be, you got to be careful with a lot of these overs that you're betting until you kind of have a feel for the team. Or if you have a good idea going into it, maybe it's an experienced team that you don't think is, or two fairly experienced teams that aren't going to be afraid of taking shots. And then we got Pittsburgh and Mississippi State. After that, 131.5 and Mississippi State -2 as the favorite. This one is supposedly a little more predictable, but I only have Mississippi State winning by covering by just over a point, it looks like, and the over hitting. But again, Mississippi State, very good defensive team. We're starting March Madness, so I don't love that over. So I think my big play for Tuesday is just going to be Corpus Christi to cover the 4, and then maybe Mississippi State -2, or just money line straight up, or I won't touch that last game, but I probably will touch it. Maybe I'll parlay it with something on the next day. But that is it. This has gone way too long. I will post the cheat sheet each day of the tournament, so I guess keep your eyes open for that. And if anything changes on any of these spreadsheets, I will post that as well. Best of luck.